The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more.
Now, this is something that many doesn't know that I would like to elaborate on, that your kWh consumption is actually in charge of most of your carbon emissions if you're a commercial building.
The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by the Clean Power Consulting Group. I'm Tim Montague, your host. Please check out all of our content at cleanpowerhour.com. Give us a rating and review on Apple and Spotify. That helps others find this content. Check out our YouTube channel. Just click on the YouTube icon and subscribe to the show on YouTube. Today on the Clean Power Hour, attacking the duck curve with a thermal battery. My guest today is the founder and CEO of a company called Nostromo Energy. Welcome to the show, Yaron Ben-Noon, the CEO and founder. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Tim. I'm the CTO. Lately, we have a new CEO, Yoram Asheri, which is doing very well. And I'm the CTO and the founder.
Awesome. You're welcome. Looking forward to learning more about your technology and why you are choosing to enter the U.S. market in the California, Los Angeles area. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Yaron. How did you get interested in energy and why did you found Nostromo?
This is my third career. I was a jet fighter pilot when I was young. At the age of 25, I started my second career, which was I was a film director in Othura. And I did mainly commercials here in Israel, TV commercials and music videos. And in 2008 or 2009, I came to the conclusion that I would like to find something more meaningful to do with my life. And the clean energy revolution just started. Solar was, everybody were talking about solar power. And I decided to change careers for the third time. And I went to start, worked for a startup in the arena of heating and cooling, clean energy, using environmental energy in order to lower electricity consumption with hybrid systems using heat pumps. And then I established another big data analytics company, which gave a deep analysis to factories, to manufacturers, about their energy consumption towards their production volume. And that went for 4 or 5 years. And I learned a lot about the energy market. And in 2016, I had this, big interest in understanding solar becomes so cheap, and I saw, like everybody, that solar is going to be the next, big thing in energy. And we know that the sun is, shining and then setting down. So the big question became storage. And I thought to myself, how come everybody are talking about electrochemical solutions, which has their own, downsides, many issues. But nobody talks about water as a mean to store cold energy. At that time, I already knew only two things. First, that water are the best material in the world to hold cold energy because of the latent heat, because of the capacity of water to hold energy when they're changing phase from liquid to solid, what we call ice. And then the other thing, that air conditioning are taking a vast part of the energy consumption at peak demand. Just 3 weeks ago, there was a heat wave in southwest United States, and in California, a new record was of peak demand was broken after 16 years, I think, from 2006. So the connection between peak demand, high demand, and heat waves is very known. And this is because, of course, the cooling systems. Yeah. So So I went to investigate how water can and should be used in order to maybe take part of the energy storage revolution.
Excellent. So we have this circumstance now where solar energy is becoming super cheap and affordable. We've broken the 2 cent mark for solar PPAs here in the Midwest for commercial industrial applications, which is incredible. And, you know, grid power for a large user in the Midwest might be 4 cents or 5 cents. Of course, on the West Coast and on the East Coast of the U.S., it's much higher. Customers could pay in the 20s or low 30s for power in California, which is one of the reasons why California is the most mature solar market, because solar pencils so well there. But you mentioned these HVAC loads being very high. And they're getting higher as heat waves are increasing in frequency and extremity across the globe. We're going to be spending more and more energy on air conditioning. And so you have created a technology that stores energy as ice. And we're going to show a quick video from your website, Nostromo Energy. Is it nostromo.energy? Is that the website?
Yeah, that's right.
Nostromo.energy. So check out their website. And it shows very graphically how this works, and that's very cool. And you mentioned the latent heat of water, which is also a very interesting phenomenon. Water does not change temperature easily, right? It absorbs a lot of heat before it changes temperature. And then when it makes
phase.
And when it makes the phase shift, especially, right?
Yeah.
So it is that phase shift which is a critical element to your technology. This is also a fairly complicated market to tackle, though, I have to say. You have all these rooftop units, right? People who design buildings tend to put these, what we call rooftop units. These are chillers, these are HVAC units and blowers and other equipment on these rooftops. And so sometimes they can be quite crowded to begin with. But tell us a little more about Nostromo. What is the status of the company? And you have a couple of pilot projects in the works. Do you actually have installations in the U.S. now?
So Nostromo was established in 2017 officially. Since then, we became a year ago, we became public. We raised about $30 million till this day. Our technology is proven and has been tested in many ways. And I'll maybe elaborate on it later. We have three systems already working in Israel. The first one was started working at summer 2019. And we have another three systems under construction here in Israel. And one big system will start construction soon in the Hilton Beverly Hills in Los Angeles. And will serve the Hilton and Waldorf Astoria, which is next to the Hilton, and both hotels are using the same cooling system. Cooling is a major contributor to the peak demand phenomena, and therefore a huge part of the ramp up. This phenomenon that we know from the peak, the duck curve is actually a drop in the solar production, and which creates a ramp up in the demand for fossil fuel energy, and the instability of the grid gets to a critical point, and we believe that if commercial cooling systems and industrial cooling systems will be become and thermal energy storage units or entities, a big part of this dilemma or this challenge can be solved using clean technology, using water. We look at the market of electrochemical solutions, and we know that there are huge problems to put them inside the cities. And we believe inside buildings because of safety issues, and there are other issues, other concerns with electrochemical solutions. We believe that water should and must have a place inside the cities, transforming building into thermal energy storage entities, and by that support the transition of the grid towards clean energy and stabilize the grid at peak hours, especially when the sun is setting down.
Yeah. So you're putting this thermal battery on the rooftop or on the ground or in the basement. It can go anywhere in the building, so to speak, right? It just needs to be close to the facility because this is a thermal application, and you just don't want long runs, right? That's going to create inefficiencies. But can you describe your technology in kWh terms as well? Like, how big a battery is this? If you have a one, you know, in lithium ion technology, we often talk about megawatts. Okay, a 1 megawatt, 4 megawatt hour solution would be a good sized industrial solution. 1 to 10 megawatts would be a CNI solution. And then, of course, with utility scale, we're talking 100 or several hundred megawatts and megawatt hours. How do you describe the footprint, so to speak, of Nostromo?
Great question. So we're talking only about medium and large commercial and industrial buildings. In the Hilton Beverly Hills, we are putting equivalent to 1.5 megawatt hour. I'm saying equivalent. I'm comparing it to lithium ion batteries, and I can avoid electric consumption of 1.5 megawatt hours. Or if you would like to look at it at capacity, that will be about 400 kW for 5 hours. This will be the reduction in the capacity or the power rate of the hotel. This is our basic, I would say, size. We would like to size our systems around 2 to 3 megawatt hours inside buildings, medium, large commercial buildings inside the city. The biggest, I think, challenge here today, because we see many of these projects of solar plus storage and so forth running, you know, in the Mojave Desert, I saw a great project, and outside of the cities. But we know that the distribution system is saturated. And soon enough with the electric vehicles, we believe that buildings will have to start participate in helping the grid, you know, mitigate all these peak demand and instability. We are already have shovel ready technology to be you know, presented and demonstrated inside the cities of Los Angeles, in San Diego. At first, we have several projects undergoing and contracts are being signed as we speak. And we want to enter. This is actually one of the only markets which is mature enough to be commercial or economical viable. And you know the numbers on the front side of the meter. I can share with you that if you put energy storage inside building under Sun California Edison or SDG, for instance, you can yield about $100 to $140 per each kWh installed, meaning nameplate of the system. Mm-hmm. So if for the ability to charge and discharge 1 kWh on a daily basis, you can yield up to $140 on a yearly basis. And since the cost of putting 1 kWh of our technology will be anywhere between $500 to $800, and this is vary because of the labor cost, and we are working to lower these costs because the cost of our technology, if you take our batteries and our control system, and before you put it, will cost less than $400 or $350 per kWh installed, but the labor costs are a great deal in California for sure.
Sure.
So that will give you about 5 years, 6 years of return on investment, simple ROI, if you can actually bring back the $140 per kWh per year.
Okay. And that $140 value is because you're attacking a specific time of day, right, when energy prices are going up because demand is so high in the late afternoon, for example, right?
Very precise. We are attacking the demand charges part of the bill. Mainly, it's called bill management. We're mm-hmm. not yet, and we will be in the future, but we're not yet into the ancillaries, frequency regulation and so forth. That is not yet available, but we are doing demand charges reduction on the peak demand. And in Southern California Edison and SDGE, it can get to $40 to $50 per kW at summertime. So you can, for 5 hours, once a month, you be charged, you be fined in a way on your highest power capacity. So we are in the capacity market mainly, less on the time of use, because in California, 55 to 60% of your power bill will come from demand charges and not from energy, from the KW side and not KWH.
Yeah, that's such a strange phenomenon in a way. If you're not geeking out on energy bills on a regular basis, you don't realize that the KWH charges are actually a relatively small portion of a bill. There's capacity charges and demand charges, which can be 30 to 50% of a bill. Here in the Midwest, we attack capacity charges with storage. Our demand charges are relatively low in the greater scheme of things. It's vice versa on the coasts, and you're attacking demand charges. But that is, the primary value of a storage device is that it is a sponge, right? It absorbs extra energy when the sun is high in the sky and solar is cheap and grid energy is cheap. So you're storing that, charging the battery. And then as the afternoon hits and the sun goes down, your solar is not producing and you need storage. And then you can attack those expensive demand charges with a battery, in this case, a thermal battery. How tried and true is the technology, Yaron? Like, is this off the shelf or is this something that you guys had to invent from soup to nuts?
Okay, so it's a good question. Ice storage has been around since, before the electricity was,
Indeed, it was the main form of HVAC back in the day, right? Just collecting ice in the winter from frozen ponds and lakes, and then moving it to other places.
But in the 20th century, since I think 1947 or so, there is a very old company, traditional ice storage, doing traditional, called CalMac. We appreciate what they are doing. They've been doing it for many years. But this is the technology called Ice on Coil, and actually, all our competitors, if you might say so, are using this technology, ice on coil, meaning building a big body of ice around coil. And in the coil, you just run an antifreeze fluid. So when you're charging, you go below 32 Fahrenheit and you start to build this block of ice. And when you're discharging, you'll run the same fluid, but now it will be cooled by the ice around it, and it will be heated when it's cooling the building fluids. The downside with this the problem with this technology is that it's totally not fit for retrofit, meaning you can build a building around it because it's a massive tanks of ice, and very little commercial buildings can actually embrace this technology if they did not took it in consideration when the building was designed. We came up with a new design. It's called, our cell called an ice brick. And for your question, each ice brick can hold 10 ton hours of cold energy, which is equivalent to between 7 to 12 kWh. That really depends on what kind of cooling system I'm avoiding when I'm discharging the cold energy. But let's call it 10 kWh for each building block. These looks like Lego blocks, big Lego blocks that you can put in any shape and form. So the system is actually formless. It will be situated for each building where the building can put it, and it will be no concern of taking valuable real estate and the volume. So therefore, the volume of the system can be very used. It can be leaning on walls. It can be below your feet. It can be in a shallow formation on the rooftop. We enable buildings to retrofit their cooling system, their very traditional and old cooling systems, with our system. The technology that we are using, it is not ice on coil. It's the other way around. It's called encapsulated ice, meaning in each and every cell, we have hundreds of HDPE. It's kind of plastic capsules. The water are encapsulated in these capsules, and the fluid goes around the capsules and not the other way around, that the fluid goes in the coil. And that gives you a lot of advantages. It gives you resilience and durability, because if one of the capsules collapse, there, nothing really happened. It's a little bit water inside the glycol or the antifreeze stream. On the other way around, and on the ice-on coil, if there is a break in the coil, the whole big tank will be contaminated with the antifreeze, so the cell will lose its ability to store energy. And there are other advantages, and one of the most important one is a stable discharge rate at the end of discharge. Now, you should know, and I'm sure you know, that every battery cell can give you power related to the potential differences. So when it's full charge, you can get a lot of power, a lot of momentarily power of it. But when the battery goes low, the power rate will be lower. So the question you might be asking, how a Tesla car or any EV it has 5% in its batteries, but still you'll push the power, the pedal, and you'll get 100% of the power. So the answer for this question is that EVs has thousands of batteries. So like Tesla might have 3,000 batteries, meaning that the computer can choose how to work with these low, potential batteries in a parallel fashion. So then you can get at 5% of the total energy capacity, you can get 100% of the power, because the computer will lose many, many, many low, energy batteries, but in parallel fashion. That's what we actually did to better the stability of the discharge rates in our system, because in ice, it goes just the same. If you have a lot of ice, you can get a lot of cold energy out of it. But once the ice starts to melt, to thaw, there is water barrier, so the power drops. We did, just like the Tesla car, we put hundreds of capsules in each cell, so therefore we better control the power rate because we use them in parallel. So we can actually stabilize high power rates at the second half of the discharge. And this is really critical for the economics of your system, that you will build only the size of system you need, and not bigger, in order to squeeze the lemon and get more energy at the end of the sequence, of the 5 hours sequence. Therefore, our depth of discharge (DOD) of our batteries is 94% within 5 hours. This is really, really, really high for ice. It has never been presented before, such high depth of discharge. That improved our economics overall. I would say the efficiency of the whole operation. It's not only about efficiency, energy efficiency. This is a different subject. I'm talking about operational efficiency, how much you will invest, and what you'll get out of it.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the logistics. You're a manufacturer and a technology company. Project development is another suite of experiences. And who are you working with in order to bring this technology to the end user?
Our design comes from the headquarters in Israel, but we have a branch in Los Angeles and San Diego. And we are as for now, when we speak, and we're going to change it soon, maybe. As for now, we are manufacturing the envelope and the capsules outside of the United States, but we assembly the cells in southern Los Angeles area. And I believe that next year we're going to move all our production to the United States, because the ITC, the Inflation Tax Reduction Act passed, and you can get another 10% out of, we can get actually 30% tax rebate on our systems. We are eligible for that, and if we will manufacture all our system inside the US, we will be eligible for another 10%, so we might move all our production to the US. We'll produce it on U.S. soil. So, yeah.
Everybody is very excited about the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, and you mentioned the ITC, that is the investment tax credit on renewable energy products, solar storage, and wind technologies. So we have very generous incentives now. And the U.S. is really a very sweet market, which is why the Europeans and the Middle Easterners like yourself are coming to the U.S. because there's a lot of opportunity, right? We have not embraced the energy transition as quickly as some other parts of the world because we have very cheap grid energy and cheap fossil fuels. Now we're realizing the pain of climate change and luckily, the Biden administration is taking that seriously and supporting the energy transition. So it's heady days. But my question is about project development. Are you yourselves doing the project development, or are you working with partners on project development?
Okay, so the development part of the project is done by us this time, at this time. But I believe that soon enough we will find partners. But we need to put our first demonstration system in the Beverly Hilton up and running before partners will follow us. But we do have partners on the installation side, which is ACO. This is a huge EPC company in Southern California. They are doing the installation. They are the general contractor, and they are our partners for this. And this is a complicated installation. Not that complicated, but still you are entering, a facility which is very sensitive, the Waldorf Astoria, the Hilton. These are very prestige, venue. And it's not easy to enter these systems and do some piping works. So we have the best of the best working with us. And soon enough, I'm sure that we will find partners that will do the business development or the new, sales with us. Once we will prove that this system is, financially viable, and we will do that. It give us 3 months or so, and we'll be happy to talk with you again after this system will start running.
Excellent.
The performances of the technology are very, very high. We believe that we will show around 90% full round trip efficiency. This is at the highest end that any energy storage technology can be proud of. And then we have zero degradation, or close to 1% degradation after 6,600 cycles. This is our test that has been done. That the lithium ion batteries has about 30 to 40% degradation after 10 years or 3,000 cycles. So we have a really, really interesting value proposition on the how clean it is and how durable it is and safe. Safety is a huge issue when you're talking about energy storage inside buildings. We present a totally 100% safe technology to be put in the buildings for many years.
Of course. The lifetime of the system. What is the anticipated lifetime of a Nostromo Energy system?
So I will talk about our cells and of course pipings and the chillers and this mechanical equipment. The longevity of these systems is well known. You need to maintain them, and you can run it easily for 15, 20 years if you do good maintenance. Our cells, we give a guarantee for 10 years with less than 10% degradation. This is guaranteed. And we believe that the system can work 25 years with no problem. Of course, what the main thing needed to be taken care of is the fluids inside the system. So we have a very harsh protocol. For every 3 months, we check the fluids, we check for biological or any other, you know, rust or any other performance, the pH of the water. And we know how to keep this water stabilized or this solution, this glycol water antifreeze solution. And we believe that we can do, you know, minimum maintenance and good performance for many years.
Excellent.
There is one thing I would like to elaborate on, and this is the carbon reduction. This is not yet, installed or being utilized. But we feel that soon enough it will be. And this is the liability of commercial users towards their electricity consumption related carbon emissions. Now, this is something that many doesn't know that I would like to elaborate on, that your kWh consumption is actually in charge of most of your carbon emissions. If you're a commercial building, most of your carbon emissions will come from electricity consumption, and the carbon emissions related to electricity consumption, especially in California, change very dramatically from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Or from midday to afternoon, late afternoon. Today we are working with data stream providers that they are regulated in California that give us the exact grams of carbon related to each kWh consumed in a certain geographic and a certain time it has been consumed. And this is by calculation of the mixture of the fuels that was fed into the system when you consume your kWh. So we can show on the Hilton Beverly Hills, we hope to demonstrate about 200 metric tons reduction every year just from charging at daytime, meaning using electricity, which is low on carbon, and discharging at evening, early evening, which all the peaker plants are kicking in, and the carbon, the electricity production carbon related are very high. Avoiding this kind of consumption will benefit the customer with hundreds of tons, metric tons a year. We believe that soon enough, like 2-3 years from now, that's going to be a huge issue, the carbon economic. I can tell you that in Singapore, they're already charging $85 per each metric ton of carbon for commercial buildings. And we believe that this will be regulated like everything in California. California will be the first one to I believe so, will regulate this. And industrial and commercial buildings will start to be very aware on the consequences of their electricity consumption and how it affects their carbon economy.
Well said. Please check out all of our content at cleanpowerhour.com. Please subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and Spotify. Give us a rating and a review, which helps others find this content. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel. I want to thank Yaron Ben-Noon for coming on the show. He is the CTO and founder of Nostromo Energy. Thank you so much, Ben.
Tim, thank you very much. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak with you.
Let's grow solar and storage. I'm Tim Montague. Take care. The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more.